I appreciate that, Terry. That's a little bit longer than my typical scripture reading that I ask people to do, but I knew he had it. He caught it this morning. He's been kind of knew what he was reading, and I appreciate it when people take the time to go over it a few times in private so that there's no surprises when you get up here. And that's, you know, when we just sit out there doing all this stuff tends to look easy until you do it. And then it's amazing how it's not quite as easy as it sounds. There's a big difference in reading in private and reading aloud publicly. And I appreciate the men that are willing to do that, like Terry and others that don't mind when you ask. They're here to do it, and that's appreciated. You know, one of the things about developing the Christian character is the development and the understanding that we need to cultivate humility. So the title of the lesson, Are You Humble and Proud of It? Now, I've talked about this a lot. You know, I told you before how, you know, humility is probably one of my greatest traits, and I am right proud of it. So, you know, I was going to write that book. I told you all about that, didn't I? The World's 10 Most Humble Men and How I Met the Other Nine. I was going to put my name right under my big picture on the front cover. But, you know, but humility, seriously, is something that takes effort. It doesn't necessarily come naturally. Now, to some people, depending on our personality type, it seems to perhaps come a little bit easier to some than others. But then again, there are those who have a mistaken concept of what humility truly is. A lot of folks think being just, you know, kind of sit back and let people run all over you, that's humility. That's not humility. Humility is a proper sense of self-worth. That's where it starts, knowing my value to God, to myself, and to my family, and to the people around me, and to the world. And when I understand that, then I can do whatever needs to be done. I can submit to others, I can submit to God, and it doesn't affect who I am. It doesn't make me less of a person to do the things that maybe some folks might look at that should be, well, that ought to be beneath you. Well, if the Son of God can wash dirty feet, then I really don't know that there is a task that is beneath any human being. And the reason Jesus could do that is because he knew exactly who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew why he was here. And he knew where he was going when he left here. And so whatever he had to do here to please his Father, that's fine. However menial or exalted it may have been, that's what he did. And we need to have that same attitude, as Terry read for you, let this attitude, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself of that, made himself of no reputation, came to this earth as a man, and not just a man, but as a servant, and not just a servant, but as a servant, obedient even unto death, and not just death, but death on the cross. At the time, the most cruel method of execution that, you know, that man could devise. And he willingly did all that for me and for you, as we pointed out somewhat this morning. And so when I want to try to develop this attitude of humility, it takes some effort. And there's some things I need to keep in mind. I read about a preacher that used to introduce himself as, well, I'm just a humble gospel preacher. Well, you know, if you're really humble, you shouldn't have to tell people all the time. It ought to kind of come through, you know, with our actions, our thoughts, our prayers. And, you know, some folks, when they pray, when we pray, we ask God to keep us humble. Probably what we ought to be praying for God to make us humble, to get some humility in us so that we have something to keep. You know, and another man I heard about said he was doing his best to live in such a humble way that everybody would look up to him. I'm not real sure about that one, you know. We need to try to develop humility, and what's involved in that, what can help with that. And this is not going to take long, folks. Don't, no applause at this point. But think of the greatness of God. That's one thing. When I think about who I am, it doesn't matter who I am. You know, however important the world may think that I am as a human being, when I compare that to the greatness of God as depicted in Scripture, and just as witnessed and evidenced in this amazing creation, it kind of helps me understand my place. Basically, the closer that I get to God, the less I think of myself. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." And I just get out of the city lights at some point on a clear night and kind of drive out just far enough away that you try to find somewhere where there's not a lot of ambient light around, park the car, turn the headlights off, get out, and just look up. You know, and you look up there and the stars and the moon, and you think, my Father in heaven, God, is the one that put all that there with just a word. All he had to do was think it and say it, and there it was. I mean, and the vastness of this universe that you and I, that we've struggled to understand, and even the greatest astronomers and other scientists, and, you know, we've got all these Hubble and this other the Webb telescope and all of this stuff out there, and we're sending back these unbelievable pictures of stars forming and all of this stuff, and stars dying and the universe undergoing on, and to know that our God just spoke and set all that in motion. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And when I think about that, and then I look at, here's me. And it's like David said, what is man that you're mindful of him? Why? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor, but why? I mean, look at us compared to you, God. So if I want to develop humility, true humility, when I get a little too big for my britches, and we all do from time to time, just think about God and the britches he would wear, and we would understand that I'm not maybe the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, in fact, if you really want to figure out how important, and I'm not saying we don't matter, don't get me wrong, but if I want to figure out how important I am to this world and how much, for instance, my passing will make a lasting difference, get you a bucket of water. I don't care how big it is. 5-gallon bucket, number 2 wash tub, doesn't make any difference. Try it in a swimming pool. It doesn't matter. Stick your arm all the way down there up to the elbow and then yank it out right quick. The hole that's left, that's about how much will be missed. That's about how much, I'm not saying we don't make a difference, because we do. To some people, we make a huge difference. But the reality is, I'm not the reason this world's spinning. We're not the reason, we didn't set all this in motion. We think about ourselves in comparison to Almighty God, and that should, right there, tend to humble anyone. But then a second thing I need to consider, if I truly want to try to become the humble person that God would have me to be, that is to value other people. You know, to look at other people and understand that they're human, I'm human. And, you know, like Paul wrote about himself, he said, if not for the grace of God, he knew he was just lost for eternity. Once he learned the truth, he knew if it wasn't for God's grace and God's Son dying on the cross, I wouldn't have a chance. And when I see someone else, I need to recognize maybe the life is not what it ought to be. Maybe, you know, the lifestyle is repugnant to civilized individuals and to God and to his will. But I need to remember, but for the grace of God, that very well could be me. That person gets up, breathes the same air I do, needs the same kind of nourishment I do to keep going. They live a very similar life, at least just by virtue of the fact that we're all human like we do. The difference is I have known the grace of God. You have had the privilege to know and continue to know the grace of God. I need to recognize that other people matter. Albert Einstein said that the wiser you are, the more you believe in equality. Because the difference between what the most and the least learned people know is inexpressibly trivial in relation to all that is unknown. He also made the statement, the more you learn, the more you realize there is to learn that's out there that we don't know. And that's his point. I'm just talking about the universe a while ago. There are so many things that even with all of our technology, we don't know. And so when I look at someone who may be totally uneducated, and this guy over here that's one of the most educated people on the planet, the difference in those two is trivial compared to the difference in this one that's educated and what he or she does not know and what humanity as a whole does not know. And so when I learn, the wiser that I get, the more that I learn, that should help me to remember that, you know, there's not that much difference in me and anybody else. We are all humans. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. I need to realize, compared to God, I'm not even a drop in the bucket. But God thought enough of me to send his son. And then as I learn more and more about God, about his will, about life, I need to recognize there's not that much difference in us and other folks. We need to put more value on other people than oftentimes we do. And I know that's not easy to do. We all have our biases. We all have our prejudices. They're not necessarily based on race or anything like that. Sometimes, sadly, it is. Oftentimes, it's not. Some are more biased toward education, some toward less, some with money, some less. There's all kinds of, and we all have them. Everybody was raised with a certain set of ethics and beliefs and how it relates to other people. But through the love of God and gaining knowledge of his word, I need to be able to break down those barriers within my own mind and recognize the value, like God does, of every single soul on this planet. Everybody matters to God, and everybody should matter to me. If I want to be humble, think of the greatness of God, place a value on other people, and then finally, be eager to learn. Because have you ever noticed the less someone knows, the more they think they know? Y'all ever notice that? You talk to people and they're just convinced they're an expert, and you know full well they don't have a clue what they're talking about. But that's part of ignorance, and ignorance is not stupidity. There's a difference. Ignorance just means I haven't learned it yet. Doesn't have anything, not questioning my IQ at all. I'm ignorant in a lot of things. No doubt about it. All you got to do is get me around anything mechanical and ask me how it works or to fix it, and you'll learn in a hurry that I have a vast amount of ignorance in certain areas of life. Some things I understand pretty well, but some things, man, and it, you know why? Because I hadn't bothered to learn. I'm capable, I think, or I was when I was younger anyway, of learning. That wasn't something I needed to know, and I still don't feel like, you know, there's other people that know those things. You know, so ignorance is not necessarily a bad thing, depending on the area of ignorance that it is, but the problem is you get, for instance, I go over to Billy's auto shop where I get all my repair work done, and I want to tell him exactly how he needs to work on my truck when I don't have a clue what I'm talking about, and he can tear the whole thing down and put it back together. I mean, how foolish would that be? Well, that's the way we are sometimes. We get in conversations and we don't have a clue what we're talking about, but we're convinced we know it all. But the more we learn, the more we realize there is yet to learn. And the wiser we become, and the more humble we become, because as we learn, again, we realize there's just so much out there. And when you talk to people that truly are knowledgeable, generally speaking, the less you know, the more you think you know. The more you know, the less you realize that you actually do know. And so we need to learn. And one of the primary things, obviously, we need to learn is God's will. And, like Jesus, he said, you know, he didn't need anybody to tell him what was in a man because, after all, he created him, John 2:25. And so, you know, we need to learn Scripture. We need to do our best to learn common sense. We need to learn people. If we want to be effective with people, we need to learn how to help, to listen, to read people, if you will, so that we can know the best way to try to open up that heart and pour the Word of God and the truth in it. And if we know how to help people open their hearts because we know people and then we know Scripture, all of those we need to learn in all kinds of areas, spiritually, biblically, scripturally, socially, educationally, just for knowledge of things that are going on in this world. You know, we need to be informed about various things so we can be most effective in our efforts to be, as we're talking about on Sunday mornings this month, to be kingdom-minded and trying to spread the Word and the kingdom of God. But to do that, I got to learn. And to learn, I got to want to. You know, you can make a child go to school, but you can't make him learn. You know, somewhere along the line, he, she has to figure that one out on for themselves. How many times have kids gotten out of high school, and well, I graduated from high school, so obviously I'm supposed to go to college now. They don't want to go to college anymore, and they can fly. And they go and they, you know, end up either dropping out or messing up. A lot of times people would be better off. I will myself as an example. When I went to Fried Hardeman, I knew why I was there. You know, I didn't just play, but, you know, I graduated with a bachelor's degree with a 2.6 GPA. That's not good, in case you don't really know about G. Now, there weren't any of these 4.2s, but still, 2.6, really? That's like the lowest B minus you can get, more like a C plus. However, years later, when I wanted to go get a master's degree, and I went back and took master's level courses, and I graduated summa cum laude with a 3.9 because I had one sorry teacher that gave me a B plus, and I never took him again, and I told him I'd never take him again because I said I deserved an A and you didn't give it. And every teacher I had one said, I've never given an A. I said, you're about to, brother, because I'm getting it. I did, and I told him all that, and I told that guy I loved him to death. Like you, ma'am, I will not ever be in your class again. So I didn't. But the point is, I wanted to go back that time. I knew why I was there. I was there to enhance my knowledge for preaching, and I knew that. So when you want to learn, you can learn. When you're being forced to learn, it's not nearly as much fun, and you don't do nearly as well, typically. So I need to have that desire to learn. And the truth is, I never need to stop. No matter how old we may get, we don't ever need to stop trying to learn something. It may seem, even if I'm just learning something that in the grand scheme of things may be a bit inconsequential, I need to always be trying to learn something. And the good thing about Scripture, because God wrote it, it's written in such a way, because God is God and I'm not, it doesn't matter how many times I've read it, how many hours I've spent studying it, I can always glean something new nearly every time because God put it together that way. And He did that for me and for you because He knows we don't need to stop learning. The day I quit learning is the day I quit growing. And the day I quit growing is the day I start dying because there is no such thing as sitting still. I look at life like you're walking up the down escalator. You know, you sit still and decide I'm not going to do anything, you're going to go back down. You got to keep moving just to stay where you are. And if you really want to progress, you need to really put the effort in. All of us do. So I need to remember God and His greatness. I need to put value on other people. And I need to continue to learn and be eager to do so. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I need to recognize that through learning and learning God's will, that meekness or strength under control, that's what that means, that I can, in fact, continue to be the person that I need to be, and I can develop and maintain that humility that I need. But first of all, I've got to realize that I matter to God, and there are people to whom I matter, and I should matter to myself. And when I recognize my importance in the light of God's will, then humility is not that difficult to cultivate. But just keep these simple thoughts in mind, because we do, one of the traits of Christianity is a humble spirit. James B. Longley, he was going to become ultimately governor of Maine, and he was an outstanding member of his college graduation class. And on his date of his graduation, he was near the top of his class, and you know, he had great things destined. Again, he would become the governor of one of the 50 states in this great union. But after graduation, his mom pulled him aside and she said, she gave him this advice. She said, "Jim, I was very proud of you today, and I think you will win many honors in your life. But remember, despite the honors, there's one circumstance more than any other that will determine the turnout at your funeral, and that's the weather." In other words, do the best you can. You can't control what can't be controlled by man. And you can be the greatest man alive, and if the weather's horrible, they're not going to be there. That's just the way it is. Keep in mind who we are and what we are. We are God's children. Now, that's special. So everyone here is special in a very good way. But that specialness is even greater when I understand that it's because of God's grace and His greatness that enables me to be great. Because Jesus never one time said to His apostles, you know, when James and John said, "Let us sit on your right and left hand when you come into your kingdom," He didn't fuss at them for wanting to be great. He said, "There is nothing wrong with wanting to be great. Let me tell you what real greatness is. Serve other people. Serve God by serving other people. If you want to be first, be last. If you want to be great, be a servant." And that's what Jesus did. And He did that because He had a proper sense of self-esteem that translated into true humility that allowed Him to do whatever He needed to do and still be the Son of God in the flesh. And we need to learn through humility and self-confidence that we can do whatever God needs us to do, and we can still be children of God right here with heaven waiting on us when the here is over. Matthew chapter 5, we mentioned it this morning, verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I would say that is the primary key to humility. Knowing that on my own, without God spiritually, I'm helpless and I'm hopeless. And I depend on Him, and I learn from Him. And one thing I learn is that we all have value, that He is far greater than I am, and that He wants me to keep learning so that I can continue to be, I can become, and then continue to be the person that God knows I can be. And humility is a chief aspect of that individual. And if anyone is here this evening, hasn't put on Christ in baptism, I know I haven't talked about that, but if you need to be baptized into Christ, there's water behind me. That can be taken care of. If prayers would be desired for humility, increased humility, whatever it may be, if there's anything that we can help with through the Word of God, by prayer and asking for God's help, then by all means, just come down front while we stand and sing.